Well, good morning, everyone. This is John Alls, and I'd like to welcome you back this morning on behalf of Independence Baptist Church. Last week, Pastor Reynolds started a message dealing specifically with the Word of God. And he wasn't necessarily focused on, the reading the Word of God, although we need to be doing that, but it was more about the Word itself, the Holy Bible, and how precious of a gift it is to us. Now, we really weren't able to finish up all of that last week, so what we're going to do is go ahead and continue with Pastor Reynolds on that same topic this week. So if you have your Bible handy, please turn to Proverbs chapter 30 as we turn the message over to Pastor Reynolds.
The Bible states in the book of Proverbs 30, verse 5 and 6, "Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar." Last Sunday morning, we preached concerning the Holy Bible that God has so graciously given to us. We need it in this world today. I'm glad that the Bible says that every word of God is pure. Notice in Proverbs 30, in verse 5 and 6, the Bible states that every word of God is pure. And then it states, "He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him." Understand that the Word of God is real. The Word of God is Jesus Christ, who has spoken unto us His own precious truth. That's why the Bible says, "Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him." Link together, if you would, the words, "Every word of God is pure," with the word, "He." He is the Word of God. That's what the Bible states. He is pure, He is right, and He is wholesome. If we change any part of the Word of God, we are actually changing Jesus Christ. And that is absolutely an error. I'm thankful today that God has given to us, in the day and age in which we live, this Holy Bible, the King James Bible. I'm glad that the Bible is a perfect treasure of heavenly instruction. I'm glad that God is the author of the Bible. I'm glad that the Bible talks about salvation. And I'm glad that I can trust the Bible. There is no mixture of error in it whatsoever. I'm thankful to know that this is so. The Bible states in the book of Proverbs 30, in verse 5 and 6, "Every word of God is pure." I'm glad that the Word of God is not like the word of men. The Word of God is pure. The Word of God can be trusted with my eternal soul. I think that God wants us to believe that He is the one that can hold us eternally safe in His own power. Understand that to change the Word of God is the same thing as trying to change God. And this is absolute error. To add anything to God's own pure Word is absolute foolishness and will always make the one that does it a liar. This is why it's so vitally important just to believe what God's Word says. The Bible says in John 17 and verse 17, "Sanctify them through thy truth." And then the Bible says, "Thy word is truth." Understand that the word sanctify here, which means to be holy, the only way we can ever be holy and right before God is to know that God's Word is absolutely truth. That's the way it is. To take the Word of God and to change it around to suit ourselves is not what God wants for us to do at all. God wants us to take His Word and to let the Word of God change us instead. We need changing, right? We need to be what God wants us to be. We are accountable unto God, and we need to be right before Him. And God has so graciously given to us His own Holy Word. Look in the book of Revelation 22 and verse 18 and verse number 19. To those people that want to change the Word of God around, This is not a good thing to do at all. But we must rather submit ourselves unto the Word of God. In Revelation 22 and verse 18, the Bible said here, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in the book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book." We should not take anything away from God's own holy word. We should not add anything to it either, because there's plagues that will befall us if we do that. We must be very careful that we only say what God wants us to say, that we act only on the things that God wants us to act on. This is a very severe penalty that God puts upon us if we change the Word of God in the very smallest way. Notice what the Bible says in the book of Romans 3 and verse 3 and verse number 4. "For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, and every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mayest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged." The fact is that we should not ever change the Word of God. Because if some people do not believe the Word of God, that does not change the Word of God in the very least at all. It does not make the faith of God without any effect. But we know that God is true, that every man, however, is a liar. If we're going to be justified, or that is, made right before God, then we must understand that He is the only one that we ought to serve. He is the one that we ought to be right before. God has given to us His own precious holy word. It is not our place to change anything that God, the righteous one, the holy one, the perfect one, has given. It is our place only to change ourselves that we might be more like Him. This is exactly what we should do. It must be noted that the Bible is word perfect. You see, God has inspired all of the words of the Bible. And God has not only inspired the words, but God has also preserved all of the words of the Bible. This reveals to us the principles by which God will judge us. We will stand before God in absolute judgment. He is the righteous one. He is the holy one. And His word will be proclaimed. The Bible said in John 12 and verse 48, "He that rejected me and receiveth not my words hath one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same will judge him in the last day." You see what the Bible is saying here? That we're going to be judged by God. And His word that He has given to us is a witness against us. You see, it really doesn't make any difference at all whether a person rejects God's word. He will still be judged by the Word, that is, by Christ, even though he rejected Christ, who is the Word. Understand that that's so. We must align ourselves with what God wants us to do. He has given to us His eternal Word. He wants us to find in His Word what He wants us to do, and then He wants us to follow His Word. Therefore, we will not be judged so severely. Listen, the very same Lord that men reject and refuse to receive will judge them in the end. You see, every person will be judged according to God's holy Bible. Therefore, you need to be real sure that the Bible that you have is God's Word and not another. There's other scriptures that teach this exact same thing. One is in the book of Romans 2 and verse number 12. The Bible said, "For as many as ascend without law shall also perish without law. But as many as ascend in the law shall be judged by the law." So, the fact is that God judges all, that God's word is very true, and that God will judge or he will bless according to what he desires. In 1 Corinthians 4, verse 3 and 4, Paul writes to the Corinthians, and he says to them, "But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you, or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not my own self. I know nothing of myself. Yet am I not hereby justified." Listen to what he says now in verse number 4. "But he that judges me is the Lord." Paul, in writing to the Corinthians, said very clearly and very plainly that it didn't make him any difference at all what they thought about him. What he was really concerned about was what God thought about him. God wrote the book. God is the one that we ought to follow. God is the one that we ought to obey. God is the one that we ought to serve. And him alone. God is the one that we ought to be obedient unto. Notice in the book of Luke, chapter 12, and verse number 48, the Bible said, "For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more." Jesus Christ is simply saying here in this place that God is the final judge. God says that men judge those whom they have committed much. And God will also judge us because he has given to us his own holy word, and he wants us to always be right and to be true before him. The very center of our Christian union is that we might really understand the truth of the Word of God. Look in the book of Philippians, chapter number 3, and read verse number 14. Here, Paul says, as he writes to the Philippian brethren, he says, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." So Paul had something on his mind that he wanted to do with his life. He wanted his life to be successful. He wanted, at the end of his life, he wanted to be right before Almighty God. And he says, "I press toward this mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." He says in verse number 15, "Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you." So the Bible says in verse number 15 that we ought to always be doing what God wants us to do. And if there's any doubt about what God wants you to do, if you just ask him, God will make it very clear to you what you should do. The Bible said in verse 16, "Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing." Brethren, he says in verse number 17, "Be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example." In verse number 19, Paul talks about people that follow another path. They are the enemies of Jesus Christ. The Bible said in verse 19, "Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things." God wants us to always think and act on heavenly things and not on earthly things. That's what the Bible is very clearly stating for us. He wants us to follow his word exactly as he declares it as true. The Bible said in verse 20, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Paul is stating here that he wants God to judge him. Why? It's not because Paul is good or Paul is right, but Paul is wanting the way that he lives to be pleasing unto the Lord. The only way that Paul can ever discover what God's will is for him is to seek it out in the Word of God. That's why that the Bible is the center of Christian union for all of us. This is why only those that are willing to walk by the same rule and mind the same things can fellowship together. You know, we must all agree with what the Bible says, because the Bible is God's Word. The Bible is absolutely true. We must agree with what the Bible says, even if it's against us, if we will have any kind of Christian union at all. We must agree that the Bible is the right way to go. This is why the Bible in the book of 1 Kings 22 speaks about Micaiah. Micaiah was a faithful prophet of God. Jehoshaphat and Ahab were together. They were trying to devise a way of victory for themselves. Micaiah, the man of God, he would always spoil their plans because he always told them exactly what God said to do. There was 400 of the prophets of Belial in this place that would tell Ahab and tell Jehoshaphat that they ought to go to battle. But they didn't have God's will on their mind at all. King Jehoshaphat, he said, "Is there not anybody of any other prophets that can teach us what the Word of God has to say?" And Ahab said, "Well, there's somebody else. His name is Micaiah, but he always speaks bad things about me." But they call for Micaiah to come. And he came. And the other prophets had made horns of irons and all kinds of things. And they were saying that Ahab and Jehoshaphat would certainly have the authority, would certainly win in the battle that they were going to fight. Micaiah was on his way when a false prophet came to him and said, "Don't say that we can't win. You just go in there and you just say that we're going to win." Micaiah said, "As the Lord liveth, whatever the God tells me to say, I will say." He came to the king, and Ahab asked him, "Shall we go to battle, or are we going to win, or what are we going to do?" And Ahab said, "Go and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king." The king Ahab now said unto Micaiah, "How many times shall I adjure thee that thou tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord?" Then Micaiah said, "You're going to lose." In short, that's what he said. "You're going to lose this battle." And they did. They lost the battle. And Ahab was killed in this battle. You know, it's very important that we have the Word of God. Ahab might not have liked what Micaiah said to him, but what Micaiah said to him was absolutely the truth. Today, you might not like to hear the Word of God, but the Word of God is absolutely what you need. Listen, your eternity is at stake. You need to hear what the Word of God proclaims unto you. This is what the Bible clearly says. There's many false teachers in this world today, just as there were many false teachers in the days of Micaiah. There was at least 400 prophets that prophesied good, but they were all liars. Listen, you need to be right before God Almighty. You need to be right before Him, because His will be done. Because it's your eternity that is at stake. It's not mine. My eternity is sealed by the hand of Almighty God. But listen, today if you're lost, you need to hear the Word of God. It's very clear and very plain that this is what you need. The Bible said in the book of 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 21, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. The Bible tells us in the book of 1 Corinthians 13 and verse number 5, that the Word of God and the people of God does not ever behave unseemingly. They seek not their own. They think no evil. Listen today, I'm not thinking any kind of evil for you either. I want you to hear the Word of God. I want you to be sure that the Word you're following is God's own holy Word and none else. I know this, that the devil wants you to follow him. His end is destruction. His end is everlasting judgment. His end is not good at all. The devil wants you to follow him. But while the devil wants you, God is also calling you. God wants you to hear his own precious word. There's many today that deny many things that the Bible says. But listen, God wants you to listen always to the things that God says. Look what the Bible says in the book of 2 Peter, chapter 3, and verse number 1. The Bible said here, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, that's the Old Testament, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, and that's the New Testament. We need to understand that God wants us to believe his own holy word that he has given to us in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. But knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. God wants us to know that there's false prophets that's going out into the world, and they're saying that there was never any kind of flood in the days of Noah. But listen, just as sure as there was a flood in the days of Noah, there will be a day when God will come into this world. The rapture will take place. The end of the world will take place. There will be a judgment of the saved. There will be a judgment of the lost. There will be a time when God will reveal himself to this whole world and will make his will absolutely known. Listen, the Bible says in verse number 5, for this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. Listen to what the Bible says in verse number 5. For this they willingly are ignorant of. The Bible makes it very clear here, does it not, that the day is right now when people are willingly ignorant of the flood in Noah's day, just as they are willingly ignorant of the fact that God will judge this world again. The Bible said in verse number 7, but the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Listen, just as sure as there was a flood in the days of Noah, there will be a destruction, a final destruction that will take place and cover this entire world, that you don't know when it's going to happen. You don't know at all. But the Bible says that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. The elements shall melt with a fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. The Bible goes on, and it says this in verse number 11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness. Because we know that the end of the world is coming to pass, we ought to follow what God's Word says. You know, the Word of God is very right. It is very true. God has inspired the Word of God for us. God has preserved the Word of God through all of these years for us. God gives us this great warning that what He has said is absolutely the truth. What He will bring to pass at the end of this world is absolutely the truth. He has inspired the Word of God and has preserved the Word of God for us. Know that it's so. What God has said in His Word will never, ever pass away. I'm glad to know that this is so. Are you? Are you glad to know that the Word of God will come to pass? If you are not sure that the Word of God will come to pass, just read with me Hebrews 11, verse number 3. The Bible says here, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. You can believe that God has created all of this world, and that God will bring all of this world into judgment. God has had His hand upon this world. In the book of 1 Chronicles 28, in verse number 12, God made a pattern that He gave to David, and David gave it to Solomon, of how to build the tabernacle. In the book of Revelation 1, and verse number 11, the voice of God told John to write the things unto the seven churches. This is absolutely the way it is. John wrote these things down, the things that thou hast seen, the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. In the book of Exodus 20, and God spoke all these words, saying, God gave the law to Moses. This is absolutely the way it is. You can have confidence in what God has said, what God wants you to do. In the book of 1 Corinthians 2, in verse number 13, in referring to the things that He knew through the Holy Spirit, Paul wrote these things, which things we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Spirit teacheth. Listen, if God is dealing with you today, to trust Him, you need to trust Him. If God is dealing with you in any way at all, you need to be obedient unto the Lord, because God knows the end. We are His creation, and He will always take care of us if we simply trust Him.
Well, thank you again, Pastor Reynolds, for talking with us today about God's Holy Word and that reminder of the promises that are in it, how perfect it is, and how precious it is that we actually have it. You know, I can't help but think about the first verse in the song of How Firm a Foundation. And that verse says, how firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in His excellent word. What more can He say than to you He has said? His word's complete, and He has given us exactly what we need right there in front of us, right there in His word. I mean, that last part of it says it perfectly. What more can He say than to you He has said? So His word has been given to us as that perfect gift. Now, as we come down to the close of the message this morning, we do want to thank you for listening and invite you to attend services with us this morning. We're going to be meeting at 124 South Main Street in Forestdale, Missouri, and the morning services will be starting with Sunday school at 10 a.m., followed by worship services at 11 a.m. Then in the afternoon, we're going to come back for a prayer meeting at 3:45 and worship services at 4:30. We'd also like you to visit our website at independencebaptist.org, where you can download books, articles, and sermon outlines for study. We also post our full-length Sunday sermons on sermonaudio.com/IBC. For example, there's a few messages out there. Just recently, Brother Wayne posted about, can God really help? Or there's a part one and part two series on the magnificence of God. So if you get a chance, go out there to sermonaudio.com/IBC. Now, once again, we want to thank you for listening and trust you'll be able to tune in again next Sunday at 8 a.m. for another message from God's Holy Word.